I'm Bill Lako, Certified Financial Planner, joined today by Ted Parrish, a Chartered Financial Analyst, and the good Dr. Gene Hensler.
Well, good morning.
You better know it.
That's it.
So anyway.
Well, let's talk about a couple things here locally. Number one is congratulations to Nathan Deal. So now we have a competition for governor, spirit of competition with Karen Handel, who graciously and politically smartly did not challenge because it was a within 1%, and she could have challenged or had a recount
class
and stuff
act.
Like that.
She's class definitely act. A class act.
So we have part of that settled. We've had Teddy and I have talked a fair amount about we think that this market today is so politically driven with uncertainty that the market is probably not going to do a whole bunch of anything until after the elections.
Yeah.
So at least we got that under our belt. We can have a good old dogfight between the Democrats and the Republicans going forward from here. The market was really
negative.
Just sucked. Yeah. What can you say? Teddy, the Fed.
Is that a technical term?
Yeah.
Yes.
But is that one we learned in financial?
That's the value of your portfolio dropping.
You know, it sucked like an orange.
You know the sound at the end of the drain going down? That's the sound of the market.
You're not making me feel any better, by
well,
the way.
Well, no. The Fed met and did close to nothing. In fact, what they did was sort of half-hearted. They said they were going to continue to buy. Teddy, was it government bonds?
Yeah, they're going to start back buying mortgage bonds, government bonds with the funds that they've purchased for mortgage-backed securities that are maturing. You know, so they're actually receiving money back from the mortgage-backed securities. They're going to in turn turn around and buy government bonds.
Rather than draw down liquidity.
So basically it's going to keep rates low, and rates have come down a bit since that announcement.
The problem with that thing is that it was – they said that the economy was slowing, and this is our reaction, and it wasn't enough to make a difference. And so I think
And then China came out with some numbers that showed that they're slowing a bit, and it's controlled growth over in China. I think they're purposely slowing their economy down a bit. And I read an interesting
from like 13% to 8%.
Still growing. Pretty
we should
fast.
Have that problem, right?
Yeah, I wish we had that problem. But you know, then the unemployment. Claims, first time unemployment claims were actually up 8,000 last week, and that was kind of a bummer for the markets.
And shockingly, quite frankly, is the productivity was down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Nine bits.
Yeah, but income was up for individuals, wages earned, which was a good thing.
I look at that productivity number in a positive light, given that we need to see more employment. I think that they've probably tapped out in terms of the amount of efficiency they're going to get from the current workers, so they need to go out and hire more. That's how I look at it.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking with the folks from Main Street Home Loans, and we're going to be talking about interest rates.
Yeah.
And then they've just got knocked down like crazy because people have run to, quote, quality or whatever, fear of stuff. And we saw 30 years below 4%.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, if I'm looking at 2 years, I'm looking at 2 years today at 2.74%. You get a three-month treasury bill to yield you 0.15. These are ridiculous rates, folks. I mean, I'm telling you that if you're basing your economic decisions on deflation, you are deranged.
Yeah.
That we haven't had a period of time for any extended period of time where we've had the actual price level go down.
Well, see, the thing about it is, Gene, you know, people ask, why would I buy a stock when it looks like everything's slowing down around every company in America? But the problem is companies can operate and do well even though everything around them is bad because they're efficient. And we see a lot of that happening with a lot of the major S&P 500 companies. Of course, you can't have that happen for way too long because you'll have civil unrest.
Listen, Teddy, you get Disney that comes out, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Disney comes out with earnings that went through the roof every single part of their business.
Yeah.
Movies,
the ESPN,
their parks, everything going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a fortune, and the stock goes down 2.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the market went down 3%. That is absolutely ridiculous. You had Cisco's earnings go up 79%. And they drop 9% in the market because they think we only think it's going to grow 18%.
No,
this year.
You know what? The market should have drove Cisco down. John Chambers needs to get a little more bold and pound the table a little bit.
Why?
Why? Because if he comes out with a weak forecast, it drives sentiment in the market. I'm sick of him. He needs to. I can't see. You were saying how the stock didn't go up because of those great numbers. Well, the stock didn't go up because, you know, Chambers needs to grow some hair on his chest or something. You know?
Oh, come on. Let's put it this
man,
way.
First of all, I don't want to hear it. Who cares what happened?
What? Since when do we get so doggone sensitive about quarter over quarter?
No.
Yes.
With Cisco, it's every quarter. It's the same thing. Numbers are great. The forecast is great. But he never pounds the table. That's why the stock doesn't go up. Okay? I have reliable sources.
Well, maybe he ought to just
degree.
Hit earnings and not worry about the forecast.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
the stock will take care of itself.
It will.
But man, still, it's frustrating.
Look.
Well, the same thing we just talked about earlier about Disney. What's going on? Go ahead.
No, just I don't want. This goes back to Bernanke. Yeah. Explain to me what buying U.S. Treasuries is going to do but drive the yield down.
Well, you're right. I don't think it's going to do anything to get out of the woods that we're in. Rates have to go up.
So I don't understand. So I'm a guy. What actually happened on Tuesday to me? Okay, I was in the market Monday. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in the market Tuesday, and we have 3.5% sell-off. Why? I don't understand.
It wasn't all to do with the Fed. It was also to do with the deficit, the trade deficit with China. And they think that it's going to be some protectionism coming from our government. So it's just a rumor. I mean, nothing proven yet.
Listen, we're in the – if you think we got the dog days here in Georgia, boy, we do have a dog day. That should be the dog of the year, the weather that we've had here. But no comment, Ted. But no one's working on Wall Street. Everybody's on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go back to school in August up there. They go back after Labor Day.
After Labor Day, yeah.
Okay? And the bottom line, everybody's on vacation. Volume is low. And so what happens is people get a little bit twitchy. Mm-hmm. And the market moves like crazy. And what we've got going on here is rumor after rumor and no volume for rational people to get involved to maintain these prices. And so we're seeing a lot of volatility. And people, quite frankly, are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid because of – there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that talked about why I don't hire. Mm-hmm. A guy talked about what it cost him to pay somebody $40,000 a year, $50,000, mm-hmm. whatever it was. He ends up, by the time, with health care, with the federal taxes on the side, with he has to pay on both sides and everything else, $70,000. That person who makes $40,000 or $50,000 pays the government all these taxes and ends up with $35,000 and think that's all they're getting paid is $35,000 mm-hmm. when the effective cost is $70,000 to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult for somebody to hire somebody unless they're really confident about what's going to be going on in the future and have some sort of sight line on this thing.
Yeah.
There are so many questions unanswered today. They passed the financial responsibility, and now they're going to have to do – it's going to take 2.5 years for them to set rules with all these commissions, so no one knows what's going on.
There's
health care, no one knows what's going on, Ted.
What's going to happen is you're going to have several years go by, and there aren't going to be any changes is what's going to happen because, like financial reg, like you said, they dropped the bill, right? You know, it's the worst thing ever for financials. Hell, they don't even know what's going to go on with it. Like the derivatives regulation, they haven't decided who's going to clear, what's going to have to be cleared. I mean, the rules aren't in place. They have a lot. Actually, it might be one of the biggest expansions of government jobs ever.
Well, certainly they're not letting a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah. So.
I don't even know what to say, Gene. I'm so frustrated.
Talk to me, Bill.
I'm just so frustrated. Well,
yeah.
I don't understand. Didn't we live this? Didn't Bernanke study this depression stuff?
Yes.
Okay. And so do the people in power, do they not seek consultation?
We have helicopter Ben.
Yeah. Well, I'm not worried about deflation. That's not what I mean. I'm not worried about that. What I don't understand is that it seems like, okay, jobs, right?
Well,
so why don't we put together a stimulus package that fixes something, bridges, you know, even a bridge to nowhere employed somebody, you know what I mean?
A true infrastructure stimulus plan.
So I I'm not a socialist, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I don't understand. If the whole idea is to put people back to work, then give them a job.
Doing something that matters.
Why do they spend $1 trillion on nothing?
Because every liberal group who had a little hidden cause, has been waiting around for the last 20 years to got what they wanted out of this doggone thing.
And but it wasn't, just liberal.
No, it wasn't. It was.
But I get your point.
Well, in this case, it was.
Well,
yeah, for parts. Of
okay,
right.
Now, I'm not talking about George Bush and every conservative group got what they want, but I'm just saying that's the
reality. Yeah, but I mean, right now, what appears to be the conversation, I'm not necessarily buying this because I think the economy is actually doing better than people
I do
are
too.
Talking
that,
about.
I would like to go in that
okay.
direction.
Go ahead. No.
No. Look it. All this stuff I hear about when all these guys are going to interview with these businesses, how are things going? They're going good.
Mm-hmm.
What's it look like next quarter? Better.
Mm-hmm.
And things are going fine. Are you hiring anybody? Yes, we have to hire some people. Well, we've heard some of the biggest problems around is that we can't get qualified help. And he said, yeah, that's a problem. There is a shortage in some industries of qualified help.
The unemployment rate for people with college degrees is 4.5%.
Yeah. So the bottom line is I heard a guy talking about he was doing construction today. And he said, this is, by the way, where the stimulus plan has brought some business. Mm-hmm. Because they're redoing, for this is New York, Tappan Zee Bridge, redoing this and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he's hiring people. And he says, any shortage of help? No shortage of help. Says, we're a union, we hire a union, and we've got two guys very qualified, and they're highly skilled for every job that we want. Now, you read stuff that you have highly skilled people that who they can't find. And that's a transition that's going on and goes on all the time. So something that would be helpful, Bill, if you were going to spend money, would be to retrain people.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that somebody could get unemployment would be to go through a training program. Because as long as you keep extending unemployment, and it's been shown time and time, look at Britain. There are people who live for 10 years on unemployment on the dole.
Yeah,
they finally cut that back. The bottom line here is there's a lot of people getting $450 a week. They're not going to take a job making $600 next year after work. Well, 600
is unemployment that high?
Yes.
The actual money that you receive? Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is that there are an awful lot of people, not you, not the guys sitting around here who are working and stuff like that. There's a lot of people who say, why should I work for $600 a week when I don't have to work for $450? Yeah. Well, if they don't get that $450 coming in, they'll take a job paying $600.
Unfortunately, the structural changes in the economy, a lot of the higher-paying jobs that they used to have aren't existing anymore.
Well, the other side of this thing, too, is I hear this argument about that people can't afford to move because they're underwater
mm-hmm.
on their house. Well, you know they're just going to let that house go.
Yeah.
What's going to stop you from moving from Detroit, Michigan, to Atlanta, Georgia, or to Charleston or someplace where there's job opportunities or anything else, because you own a house in Detroit that you paid $150,000 worth is only worth $50, huh? That ain't getting in your way if you really want a job.
Mm-hmm.
So there are jobs out there. The first thing is don't extend unemployment. When that happens, more people will go back to work. You won't see help wanted in the McDonald's window paying $11 in prime hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off my soapbox.
Listen, I agree with you. This doesn't have to be rocket science, but they're clearly, I don't know.
Mental attitude, all the difference in the world. Teddy and I talked about it. Politics, November 4th or 2nd or whatever, it'll be over.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're going to stop here. It's been a slice of heaven. If you need help during the week, you can reach us 770-429-9166. You can always email us at drgene@hensler.com. Gene, Teddy, slice of heaven.
Very good.
We'll see you next week. Take care.